Good morning, everybody. It's my penultimate go at preaching to you. So, you know, after all these years, I hope I'm kind of getting near to getting it right. It is such an incredible privilege. I think Martin would agree with me here. It is such an incredible privilege that you give to us to come each week and sit under the ministry of God's word. We try to convey to you a sense of how God has spoken to us for you during the course of the week. We seek God's face. We look into his word. We study it. We apply ourselves to it. And we seek to find what God is speaking, not only to our own lives, but to you, to us as a church, what he would have us hear. How he would have us be encouraged, how he would have us motivate our lives in a different setting and way. So my prayer this morning is that God would do just that, that he would speak to you through his word in spite of me. Let's rejoin the story of Joshua then, and I'd encourage you, if you haven't got a Bible, take one of these. It's going to be on page 189. You can get a Bible from the bookshelves at the back if you haven't got one yourselves. We are rejoining the story of Joshua 5 years in. Chapters 2 to 12 chart the story of the exciting years as the people of God have steadily taken ground and occupied the land of promise. Now let's read from, we're going to just read a couple of verses in chapter 13 and then jump to chapter 14, so stay on your toes. Chapter 13, page 188 in these black Bibles, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, "You are old and advanced in years, and there remains very much land to possess. This is the land that yet remains. All the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites," and so it goes on. And it gets down to verse 7, "Now therefore divide this land for an inheritance to the 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh." Remember, a couple of tribes had already received their inheritance on the other side of the River Jordan. So that's why it's 9 tribes and half the tribe of Manasseh. Now let's jump over to chapter 14, verse 5. "The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land." And now we come to the substance of where I want to preach from today. Verse 6 of chapter 14. "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now, give me this hill country." Some translations say this mountain, "of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord has said." Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb the son of Jephunneh for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, Because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Now the name of Hebron formerly was Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. I love mountains. Maybe it comes from my childhood home, 5,000 feet up in the mountains of Papua. Yes, that is an airstrip somewhere there on the mountainside. And those brave pilots from Mission Aviation Fellowship used to land there. Mountains lift my soul and draw me like magnets. They speak of adventure and challenge, the hard struggle upwards against gravity, the thrill of the exposed ridgeline, the shift in perspective as you get higher, or the unique view on the world below. Well, not on a day like today. All these things keep me coming back for more. And I like to think that Caleb thought like that too. Because surely anyone who's prepared to fight for a mountain at the age of 85 has got to love them. Don't you think? But the trickiest mountains of all are those with false summits. At least when you're just walking. They really mess with your mind. Just when you think you're on that final stretch, just when you're coming up to the summit and you think you see the top, you struggle up only to find a higher point stretching away from where you are. And it was like that for the Israelites here in this middle section of the book of Joshua. They had just been going through 5 years of hard fighting and restless movement that were demanded by Joshua's military campaign. And you can't help but have a little bit of a thought for them, because surely it was time now, after all this grueling work, to settle down to the easy life. Time to enjoy the land that they had fought so hard for. Time to sit down and eat its plentiful produce. After all, even their top general was himself well past retirement age, and he was needing to put his feet up. Even God seems to recognize that if you look at chapter 13 and chapter 13 verse 1 actually, some of you got it. There's a bit of a sense of, you know, play on words here, and it's meant to be funny. Joshua was old and advanced in years. The Lord said to him, "You're old and advanced in years. It's high time you were putting your feet up," in other words. But God warns the people about the dangers of false summits. They are not there yet. You know, although they're living in the land, they're not yet living in the promise. There remains much land to be taken, and two dangers now confront them. The first is the danger of the comfortable life. It really, and I think there's some guys here that agree with this, it really doesn't take that much milk and honey to put a fighting man out of condition. Yeah? You sit down, enjoy yourself a while. And the second danger that confronts them is the danger of the borderlands. That gray zone where power and allegiance is constantly in flux. If the people don't continue to take hold of all that God has given to them, it won't be long before the borderlands start to press in on them. Two experiences that we maybe confront in different ways. Now, you can't read the book of Joshua without sensing or noticing the importance of geography. Land is for Israel a measure of faithfulness. It's a measure of God's faithfulness to them. But it's also a measure of their faithfulness to God. And like the Israelites, We who follow Jesus have also been given a kingdom, and we've been invited to live in it, the kingdom of God. And just as it was for them, the gift of the kingdom in and through Jesus is a measure of God's faithfulness to us. The extent to which we live in that kingdom is a measure of our faithfulness to God. And God's blunt message to the Israelites in this middle part of the book of Joshua is this: there is much more land to be taken, and Joshua is much too old to take it. It's time for him to hand over responsibility. Faithful leaders raised up by God, first Moses and now Joshua, have delivered. And now responsibility is to be given to the people themselves. The land is to be allotted. It's to be divvied up. Basically, it's theirs for the taking. But only if they have commitment to respond in faithfulness to God. This is why this book is timeless. It speaks of our need to remain faithful to God, a God who is faithful to us, and our need to remain faithful to Him. And into this moment steps Caleb, a man who's been on a lifelong journey with God. Now, he wasn't about to be deceived by a false summit or two. No, not Caleb. He wasn't going to stop until he was on top of his mountain. Caleb means dog in Hebrew. Caleb was a Kenizzite. The Kenizzites were related to the people of Edom through Jacob's son Esau. Now, on the face of it, that put them a long, long way from the promises of God. But we're told in Numbers chapter 13 that Caleb had also risen to be a chief among the people of Judah. Like us, in ways that we don't really understand or know, Caleb was an outsider brought into the people of God. And now Caleb steps up and shows that the key to the kingdom, the key to taking ground with God, is total commitment to the king. Total commitment to the king. Caleb, you see, was totally committed to seeing God's purpose. A bit of the backstory. Some of you know it. 45 years back, Moses had commissioned a dozen crack troops, his best military men, to go on a top secret mission. They were to infiltrate the enemy lines. They were to spy out the land. They were to report back on strengths and weaknesses. For Moses, the invasion of Canaan was imminent, and this intelligence gathering mission was the final stepping stone, the final critical piece in preparation for it. And the story goes like this: that though those 12 men executed their mission together, it turned out that they saw two very different realities. 10 of them saw a reality that was informed only by their eyes. The land was good, for sure. It was fertile. It was rich in produce. Hey, look at these grapes. It took 3 of us to carry them back. But the cities were strongly fortified, the armies well armed, and the people themselves were to a man incredibly tall and strong. Giants, if you please. And their final analysis in this report back session in front of all the people was, stay right here where we are, because we're never, never going to win against them. But two of the men in that mission saw a different reality. Joshua and Caleb. For them, reality was informed not by just what they saw, but by what they knew to be true about God. And they saw everything that the others saw.
But their recommendation was instead, let's go right now because we can do it. It wasn't because they were naive optimists. It was because they believed in the promise of God. They believed in the promise of God. Listen to how Caleb puts it in Numbers 13 at the time of this incident. He says this, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread to us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That's the 40-year-old Caleb speaking. But the people voted with the majority. And as a result, an entire generation passed away, aimlessly wandering around a wilderness. But for Caleb, God's promise became personal. The land you've walked on will be yours. Which only strengthened his commitment to seeing God's purpose, to seeing God's promises revealed. The key to the kingdom. The key to God's blessing is total commitment to the King. What he saw, he lived. Caleb was totally committed to living God's promise, to living in that promise. For 45 years, he had been sustained by the promise of God, his health, his strength, his determination. Every day when he got up, he thought about that promise. God, you're keeping me going. For it. He lived to make that promise his reality. For 45 years, he'd held on to it, trusting it as God's word to him. He really, really believed it. Caleb had faith in God, and he based his entire life on that faith. The key to the kingdom, the key to life with God, is total commitment to the King. What he saw, he lived by. And what he lived by, he acted on. That's where we find Caleb now in chapter 14 of Joshua. Caleb had a total commitment to act on God's promises. Just as a climber scales a sheer rock face, trusting to the protection of a slender rope and his unseen friend high, high above him, Caleb was prepared to launch out in total trust, total confidence on God. And as the land is allotted and the people are made responsible for completing what Joshua has begun so well, 85-year-old Caleb senses his moment and steps up. Joshua, I've been living on a promise for 45 years. Now it's time to see it through. Give me my mountain. Yes, that one over there, where the tallest, fiercest warriors live in their heavily fortified city, the mountain I walked on so long ago, the mountain God promised to me, that's my mountain. Will you give it to me? Will you let me have it? He had lived for this moment. All 85 years of his life till this time, till this moment, had been mere preparation. Now it was time to act on the promise. And he did so in total dependence on God. In human terms, he was way out of his depth. But in God's terms, he was just getting his feet wet. What was it Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20? Something about people that have faith the size of a mustard seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll be able to say to this mountain, move. And it will move. Well, Caleb's your man. Caleb's the mustard seed man. He has mustard seed-sized faith. Just as Jesus spoke about. I want to pause for a moment and think, what has God been preparing you for? What is God preparing you for? What is the direction of your life? Where are you headed? Caleb speaks to the older generations and all those like me who are well into the second half of our lives with his deep sense of faith At 85 years of age, he could still find a tremendous purpose for his life. Look at how he speaks and says it to Moses. He says, you know, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. The Lord has kept me alive and well. So give me this hill country. Think for a moment. Try and think just for a moment like Caleb thought. Why has God given you the life experience that he's given you? It's going to be all of us are going to have slightly unique, individualized experiences of life. Why has God given you that life experience? Why has God given you the gifts that you have very particularly, the skills that you have developed very precisely, the family that you have, the connections and the contacts that God has brought into your life? Why has God done that? What promise of God's are you living for? What promise of his are you prepared to act on? Why has God brought you to where you are just now? To make a name for yourself? Surely there's more to it than that. To have a dream home? Surely more to it than that. To enjoy a long and comfortable retirement? Come on, people. There's surely more to it than that. All those things fade and pale into insignificance in the light of God's kingdom and his invitation to be part of it through Jesus. I love this verse. Paul says in Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 12, he says this, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I think Caleb, he'd have understood those words. He knew what they meant. But Caleb also speaks to you younger ones, to you younger generations. I feel old saying that. It's pretty weird, you know. It's no accident that he ended up as this feisty, faith-filled octogenarian, desperate to take a pop at those giants over there on his mountain in God's name. No, what began or what ended on the mountainside of Hebron began way back when, as a young person, Caleb allowed his character, when Caleb allowed his life to be totally shaped by his faith in God. It's never too late to allow that, but Caleb allowed that from a very early age. No wonder he rose to become a chief among them, like Joseph before, and people couldn't help but notice that God shaped his life. You guys in the first half of your lives, you with a lot of living yet to go, you want to finish well, don't you? You probably want to do it better than some of us who are on a ways. Well, you know, if you do, it begins now. Listen to what God says about the young Caleb way back again in Numbers chapter 13. You can read it yourselves later on. My servant Caleb, says God, has a different spirit. He is totally committed to me. Let that be the mark of your life too. Don't let meaningless, worthless things keep you from God's best. The key to the kingdom is total commitment to the King. Caleb got his mountain. I imagine the 85-year-old fighting his way up that mountainside, determination in every step. Nothing but nothing was going to stop him now. And I imagine a sweaty, it's hard to imagine a sweaty, battle-weary 85-year-old, but I imagine a sweaty, battle-weary Caleb staggering to the mountaintop and falling to his knees as he dropped his blunted sword on the ground. Did he laugh at the craziness of it all or simply cry for joy? I don't know. But I know that God gave him his mountain. God gave him his mountain. Look what it says in chapter 14, verse 14. Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb. He did it. He went for it, and he did it. Caleb is one of my heroes of faith. I want to be like Caleb. I want to stand on the mountaintop of God's promise, and I want to settle for nothing less than that. even if it takes me till I'm 85. I want to see what God sees. I want to live by what I know to be true about God from His Word. I want to act on all the promises that are mine in Jesus. I want to take ground with God, for God. I want to take ground in my own life, where there is still, sadly, much ground to be taken. Much land to be taken. Some of it occupied by giants who don't seem likely to give in very easily. I want to take ground in this city where there is still much land to be taken. With its lowest percentage of people who call themselves Christians in the whole of the UK. I want to see ground taken in our church community where there is still much ground to be taken. My friends, what couldn't we do if we had faith like Caleb and if we lived like Jesus? There is still much land to be taken. The key to the kingdom is total commitment to the King. Will you pray with me? Lord, we know all your promises are ours in Jesus. The promise of your love sealed on the cross. The promise of your presence sealed by your resurrection. The promise of your kingdom sealed by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for the inspiration and example of your servant Caleb. Lord, we see ground that still needs to be taken in our lives, in our city, and here in our church community. Oh, Lord, like Caleb, we pray for faith to see beyond the strongholds, to look beyond the giants. And with him we ask, give me this mountain. It may be that the Lord will be with us, and we will drive them out, just as he has said. And all God's people agreed and said, Amen.
Amen.